Now it's time to start the press conference. Thank you very much for coming to this press conference by the president of NTT Docomo. At the outset, our president will make a few comments on some recent updates, and then we would like to entertain your questions. And on your way out, although we have not really distributed the documents yet, but we are going to distribute some new press releases which are simultaneously released by Docomo regional companies regarding the expansion of the HSTPA coverage. So if you are interested, please take a copy back on the way out after this conference. Well, thank you everybody for sparing our precious time to attend this conference. I would like to comment just briefly on our recent business performance. First of all, with respect to number portability, from the 10th of September, we started receiving prior applications for the use of number portability service. So it's been just less than 1 month for its official launch. But I think so far, I think things have been very calm, very quiet. And I think things will begin to pick up until the 24th of October. With respect to HSTPA and former coverage and handset lineup and our mobile wallet service, I have a few comments regarding the recent developments. In the end of August, we launched HSTPA service on the 31st, actually, of August. By and large, I think we made a very good start, a favorable start. The compatible handset, we sold 33,000 units in just 1 month. And given that the service is available only in the 23 wards of Tokyo, I think this is a positive number. And as Mr. Suzuki mentioned, up until the end of October, we are planning to expand the coverage of HSTPA to all major cities nationwide. And with respect to the Kanto Koshinetsu area, we are going to expand the coverage to within the Route 16, to the areas within Route 16. And I think with this, the uptake will gain further momentum. As for customers' response, because of the faster data speeds of approximately tenfold compared to 3G, customers appreciate that HSTPA allows them to access iMode much more smoothly, and therefore it is more convenient compared to the previous services. With respect to former coverage, prior to number portability, we've been striving to expand the coverage to a level superior to our second generation network. This fiscal year, we plan to add 10,800 outdoor base stations and 3,000 indoor systems. And as of this moment, we completed the installation of over 50% of the planned installations this fiscal year. So we are moving almost in line with our plans. Basically, we are working on two fronts. One is that going forward, we are placing newspaper advertisements to receive opinions from customers as to the areas where there are connection difficulties. So we are receiving customers' comments on those difficulty areas. And the other day after we placed the advertisement, we received 7,000 requests. And we've already decided to build base stations to 60% of those areas suggested by the customers. And going forward, we will try to further improve the coverage based on those voices from customers. In addition, we are going to heavily improve the coverage in areas such as JR stations nationwide and universities, junior colleges, and high schools. Also, service areas and parking areas alongside highways. All of these locations will be covered. And by the end of September, I think we'll be able to finish all these planned installations in JR stations and universities and so forth. And we are going to use this 3G network for a long time going forward. So we would like to make thorough efforts to improve its coverage and quality. As for the handsets, well, in time for the year-end sales seasons, we are planning to launch the 903 series. These are the high-end models, and by the end of this fiscal year, we are planning to add another 20 more handsets, including the 903 series. So altogether, this fiscal year, we'll be introducing 50 new models to the market. So this is the record high for a single year introduction. As for wallet phone service, the user base of compatible handsets reached 15.5 million as of the end of August, and as of yesterday, the number of DCMX members reached 800,000. So we started the service in the end of April, so it's been 5 months, and I think the uptake has grown steadily. And as we announced yesterday, we've been collaborating with Suica, and in addition to this collaboration, JCB's QuickPay and BitWallet's Eddy will join our efforts to introduce a common infrastructure for the reader-writer machines of these wallet phone service. I think by early next year, we'll be able to come up with these common reader-writer machines so that users can use these infrastructures commonly. And also Family Mart, Lawson, and other convenience stores are going to introduce these reader-writer machines in all of their outlets going forward. So with the increase of these reader-writer machines installations, we believe that this credit card service and our prepaid and postpaid services will develop even further. That's my impression. So those are the comments that I have at the outset, and thank you very much. And if you have any questions, I'll be ready to entertain them.
We would now like to take questions from the floor. May we ask you to raise your hands if you have any questions? Yes, we'd like to go to the person in the back. Thank you. I'd like to ask two questions, if I may. First, I want to ask about the timetable for the launch of the successor to N900IL. My second question relates to the Universal Service Scheme. Are you going to be passing on the cost to the users? Have you made any decisions? If you have, we'd like to hear them. Thank you. As far as the successor model to N900IL handset is concerned, we'd like to launch this in the early period of 2007, and we're making preparations toward that end. As far as universal service scheme is concerned, we have not reached any final position yet. However, if we take a look at the recommendation per se, they do say that it would be all right to pass on to the customers. That is what the recommendation says. So we will make determination going forward, but we have not made any final decision about this matter yet. I'd like to go back to your first question about the successor model. Fairly soon, we believe that we'll be able to make some sort of announcement about this matter. Thank you.
Other questions? Yes, I see a hand over there. Nikkei Shimbun, my name is Nakagawa. With respect to number portability, I have a question. You said at the outset that things have been quiet so far. But does it mean that it's quiet only for you, or does it apply to the entire industry? I'm not really sure about the other carriers, but as far as our business is concerned, things have been calm. Does it mean that even though you started your pre-registration campaign, the number of those applicants are just quiet? Well, when you look at our Docomo shops and other mass retailers, and if you hear from them, there is not a huge number of people queuing for making applications. And another question. AU are going to release 12 different models for winter-autumn season. And Vodafone, perhaps today, is going to announce new models, perhaps on a comparable level with AU. I think they are quite aggressive, but what do you think? Yes, in October, I think we'll be ready to announce our new models in October. But right now, we have plans to add 20 new models within this fiscal year. The actual marketing timing will vary depending on when it's completed, but we'll announce in October.
Nikkei Shimbun,
Hanzawa from Nikkei Shimbun. I'd like to ask about the number portability. Starting from October 24th and onwards, we are waiting with interest as to how this number portability could actually bring about momentum to the marketplace. I'm sure you have done your own survey, but Mr. Nakamura, if you compare against the previous year, how much percentage of increase do you anticipate in terms of handset sales? Do you believe that perhaps in the case of the Christmas season, you'll be able to realize maybe 1.5-fold sales as a result of replacement and so forth? So if you could just give us a sense of scale as to how much increase you are anticipating as a result of number portability, we would appreciate such an outlook. That's a very difficult question to respond to. The churn rate for August was 0.60, a very low number. So that being the case, and if we take into account the low churn rate over the last few months, perhaps number portability might be one factor. So in the month of October and November, we might see some trend as far as the churn is concerned. Now, in terms of our annual projection, we anticipate a churn rate of 0.85% on a full-year basis. In the second half of this year, we do anticipate an incremental churn of about 700,000 for the second half of this year, compared against an average year. Incremental 700,000, what do you mean? Well, in a given year, in terms of the sales, we have 25.7 million. We anticipate incremental of 700,000 in terms of the sales as a result of the number portability.
My name is Ogoto from IT Media. You mentioned that you are going to expand the HSDPA coverage, but do you plan to increase the number of compatible models within this fiscal year? Well, this fiscal year, we will shortly release the data card for HSDPA, but maybe not within this fiscal year, but we will try to increase the number of compatible handset models going forward. Maybe not this fiscal year, but in the years beyond. Actually, your timing is not decided yet, but as for the outlook, perhaps towards the fourth quarter, we may add two different models. Of course, it's not finalized, but I'm not really sure about two or three, but we are planning to add models.
My name is Sawai. I'd like to go back to the churn rate. Based on various surveys, various outlooks and projections have been put forward. Now, in the immediate sense, do you believe that the shift of the pace of the shift is larger or smaller than you had initially anticipated? Well, the churn rate is now 0.6%. This is probably record low in terms of the churn rate we've had in the past, and I think this is due to the run up to the number portability. This probably led to a situation where people were actually refraining from buying new handsets and replacing their handsets. Now, in terms of the handset, AU and today SoftBank, they are now launching various handsets, and this is going to be become very clear. So, what do you intend to emphasize? What do you intend to project in your future handset lineup, music and so forth? Well, we We believe they will be focusing on high-level or sophisticated advanced-level handsets, and also music is quite important, so we will also be enriching the lineup in these areas. So if you could just be a bit more patient before we have our lineup, full lineup. Thank you.
Yes, please. Kyodo Tsushin, my name is Inoue. In a related note, AU said that they are going to increase the upload speed, the uplink speed. But what are your plans regarding uplink?
Well, with the introduction of HSDPA, the uplink was 64 kilobits per second as opposed to 384 kilobits per second. But with HSDPA, we are increasing the uplink speed to 384 kilobits per sec. And going forward, the Super 3G is intended to offer 100 megabits per sec downlink and 50 megabits per sec uplink. So, depending on the actual usage of uplink, we will consider how we advance the uplink speeds and the scenario to increase the uplink speed. It relates to the introduction of Super 3G, and we also would like to look into the actual usage status of customers. So we do not have any definitive plan right now whether to increase the uplink speed or not. It's not decided at this point. In a related question, AU said that they are going to focus on their video phone. Of course, we do understand it's later or behind you, but what do you think about that? Well, video phone requires higher transmission speeds, so if that means that they came up with higher transmission speeds. But as I have stated from before, visual communication is quite difficult. Video phone itself is, if it's only available or in its only usage is the conversation between grandfather and grandchildren, it's not going to be a huge demand. So we've been working very hard to develop those usage scenarios for video phone video applications, and we should compete fiercely with them to improve the services.
My name is Hashimoto. This might be an ambiguous question, but in terms of number portability, what do you believe are the factors which will allow you to be successful and to be a winner amidst this mobile number portability competition? I have consistently said that it is a matter of having comprehensive strength, overall strength. We are in the telecommunications business, so therefore we must have good connection of our network. If the calls cannot go through, then it will be problematic. That is the foundation. And also, Japanese consumers love handsets, so it's necessary that we have attractive handsets. We also must deliver content. To what extent can we satisfy our customers with our content lineup? And another factor relates to after-sales service. To what extent can we accommodate the requirements of our customers? We really must cover all those fronts if we are to be a winner. Of course, it's necessary as a defensive measure, but at the same time, I believe having all these factors in place will allow us to be aggressive, if you will, and to be on the offensive going forward. We have also said that number portability is not a one-off event, so therefore we must continue to enhance our overall strength, and this is a very critical point. And if I were to elaborate, we need to have services which will allow us to be different from our competitors. You talked about overall strength. I can understand that point. But at this initial phase, it's very difficult to understand. In other words, we can understand your point that the overall strength is important. But do you have strength that really separates you from the other competitors? In other words, you have one factor which really allow you to be ahead of the pack. That strength really cannot be projected to the consumers. It's very difficult for the consumers to understand which point that Docomo excels in. That's the impression that I have. Maybe we're not very good at advertising our strength. I think fundamentally, we have enriched the game content, and I believe that we've been able to catch up with the music content with our competitors. So we're trying to fill in the gaps, We have worked with iMode for a very long time, so be it game contents or be it the handset lineup, and in terms of the handset design, if you take a look at all these factors, you'll find that Docomo has a credible strength in all these areas. And of course, as far as the network is concerned, we want to be able to complete a good network by the end of September, a network that does not have any gaps. So I think we need to really strongly send out this message.
Other questions? Yes, please, go ahead. Bloomberg, my name is Eki. I have two questions. One is about your new products. I think you said that music is one of the strengths of your new handset, but can you comment on other factors such as flat rate services? And another question is about your alliances with Google. You mentioned that you agreed to ally with Google, but could you elaborate on what you are actually planning to do with those alliances? With respect to the first question, well, the 903i series, we are coming up with six different models, and there are also some strong demand for non-camera phones, so we are going to come up with two SimPure new models. We are also going to come up with a new kids model, kids handset, and also with respect to the 700 series, we are going to come up with 10 different models. And the TV phones, I mean, that is the one segment enabled phone. We only have one model today, but we are going to add three more models for those TV phones. So that's our basic plans with respect to the new handsets. And as for our alliance with Google, actually we allied with not only Google, but many other players as well. But one important thing is that we are going to come up with this research engine, search engine, excuse me. So with the search engine, of course, they will have to go through the iMode portal, but of course, they can also go to Google or Goo, and we will navigate customers to enable that. So that's what you can do with our alliance with Google. And of course, naturally, the connection and convergence with internet is the service, so full browsing capability going forward will become much easier to use. So it's not that the PC screen is going to appear. I think those PC screens will be modified to fit the PC, to fit the cellular screen. So, and today, if you want to connect to the outside internet, we only have a volume-based billing, so how to arrange the pricing structure is another big challenge for us.
Other questions? Yes, the gentleman in the front row, please. Kawahara from Nikkei Shimbun. Starting from the end of this year, I believe NTT East and West will be launching their next generation network. Now, under the IP Advisory Council, under the Minister of International Affairs, Internal Affairs and Communications, sharing of facilities among the regional carriers of NTT and Docomo, the recommendation has been that the position rather of the Advisory Council has been that the sharing should be done in a cautious manner. I believe NTT was talking about having a single network, but can you talk about Docomo's position vis-a-vis next generation network going forward? Yes, going forward, fixed mobile convergence is going to be a necessity. It is going to be essential. So customers and users will have such a requirement, and how we respond to that is going to be a very important challenge for us. So in that regard, we must work together with NTT East and West so that we could offer the greatest convenience to our customers. Now, as far as fixed mobile conversion is concerned, I think we have to separate between the corporate market and the retail market. Already in the business community, various various handsets such as the IL series, which combine both fixed and mobile, have been delivered. But in the household sector, how will this be addressed? Britain has already launched this service. I think we need to identify what type of requirements the customers may have vis-a-vis such fixed mobile convergence services. In the long run, however, a fixed mobile convergence is going to be the course and the direction. Then what about the network? And the fixed line communications will be served by fiber and IP. It's easy to see how a decade from now the fixed network is going to function. As for the mobile, we have already launched 3G, 3.5G, and eventually we'll be migrating to 4G perhaps. So we're not going to be staying with the current network forever. Eventually 4G is going to emerge. So in that regard, how can we actually create a network which combines both fixed and mobile? It's not a matter of sharing IP network. I think it's a matter of upper layer. How can we actually elevate the network to that to a higher phase, if you will, to a higher level? So in the case of fixed line network, it's easier to see out into the future. However, in the mobile, things are more dynamic. So how can you combine the two so that we may offer the best services to our customers? So it's a very difficult matter to address.
Yes, next questioner, please. My name is Kudo from Mainichi Shimbun. Yesterday, I read the press release announcing the common reader writer machines for payment services. Actually, four different payment solutions will be supported by these reader writers. And I think that will enhance the convenience of the merchants. And I think you have so far grown the uptake quite smoothly. But with electronic money and other credits, what kind of competition do you think will occur in the future as you try to increase the uptake of DCMX, and how do you need to differentiate your services in order to compete in this game, especially in the electronic payment arena? Well, basically, if you consider the customers, many solutions, I think, will become available going forward. So we have to address the issue of how to enhance the convenience of our customers. And in that regard, all three telecommunications carriers have agreed to use a common name, which is OSAFKETAI, meaning wallet phone service. So, of course, on one front, we have to collaborate in order to pioneer a new market. Because we are pioneering a new market, we have to collaborate to some extent, otherwise we cannot open up the market, we cannot establish the market in the first place. Then after that, if we consider prepaid and postpaid as two different categories, there are many players in the prepaid field already, and as for postpaid, there are already three different solutions available. And I think there will be competition amongst these players going forward. Now, we are a telecommunications provider, so we can do services like DCMX Mini, which is a very small sum payment, but we can collect the usage and the amount using our telephone bills, because that's a very low entry barrier on the part of the customers. I think it's very important for us to grow the uptake of this DCMX Mini service.
Yes, please. Ichinotani, I'm with Fuji Television. I'm sure you have been asked this question many times. Now, in the run-up to the mobile number portability, Mr. Nakamura, do you believe that this represents an opportunity or this represents a crisis for your company? Well, what have we been doing over the last 2 years? Everything we have done over the past 2 years has actually been toward the run-up to number portability. We only have 15 years of history, and we knew that 2 years ago number portability would eventually come. So we revisited what we did in the past. We tried to identify whether or not what we have done so far really is geared toward the customer. So be it price, network, and be it handsets, we have really revisited everything, all of these in the past 2 years. And perhaps our efforts are still not sufficient, but I believe that number portability really presented us with an excellent opportunity to revisit what we have done. People have been saying that we are on the defensive or we are on the offensive, but be it the offense or be it the offense, defense or offense, I think we really need to look back at what we have done so far. So the fact that we had number portability, I believe, was actually a blessing for Docomo.
Any other questions? Yes. My name is Tomioka from Sankei newspaper. The ministry's new minister, Mr. Suga, came up with a council which includes the cellular phone business. Do you have any comments? I'm not really sure. I just saw it on TV, and I'm not really sure the details about the discussion. But it has been said from before that the share of Japanese manufacturers overseas is not that significant, and we are very aware of that. And because Japan used a second generation system, which is called PDC, which is not GSM, that became a burden on the part of manufacturers to compete against the international manufacturers. But now that we have 3G in the marketplace, and Japan was leading the world in terms of the introduction of 3G, so the Japanese manufacturers, I think, have built up capability and know-how pertaining to the 3G business. So, of course, past is a past, but how they can go abroad with their technology backing. I think the Japanese manufacturers had advantage because they have a longer history in developing 3G, so I have a bit of confidence in that area.
Inose from Toyo Keizai Magazine. I think the microphone isn't working. I think the gentleman's microphone isn't working. Thank you. I'd like to ask about the Universal Service Fund. KDDI has clearly said that it will pass on the burden or cost to the users. Now, earlier, Mr. Nakamura, you said that you have not made a final decision about this. But what are some are there factors that Docomo needs to consider, or in principle, do you believe that you would like the users to pay the cost, or is there a need to have coordination among the NTT Group companies? Can you elaborate on your thoughts about the Universal Service Fund? It's not so much a matter of NTT Group as a whole. I think we just need to come up with our own position as Docomo. The reason why I said we have not made any decision is that we have already had any discussions yet. We have not reached a final decision. If we take into account various factors, of course, we have to consider that perhaps we should charge 7 yen from the customers. But again, it's not finally decided yet. This is only my personal preliminary view.
Yes, next question, please. Nikkei BP Shirai. With regard to the subsidies of cell phones, what is your view on that? And with the introduction of number portability, how will that induce any changes to your sales channel? It's been discussed that mass retailers may see a shift because they are selling three carriers, handsets of three carriers. Well, we do understand that the incentive is a topic of discussion, but we do not necessarily think that the current system is a good one. But if you remove the SIM lock, actually the removal of SIM-lock is closely related to the incentive system, and removing the SIM-lock means that the cheap handsets subsidized by the subsidies will no longer work. This system will no longer work because there will be an outflux of handsets to overseas markets if we remove the SIM lock. And also, if you consider the domestic circumstances, let's say if you buy a handset at the price of 1 yen, and if the customer replaces the SIM chip with Vodafone's, we cannot make a sustainable business, so we have to lock that, and that's closely related to the subsidy issue. And what that means is that if our expensive handsets are sold at higher prices, customers will have to stay with the same handsets for a longer period. And what that means from the operator's perspective is that set-aside voice services, these customers may use different new services, and that was actually the factors behind the development of the handset features so far. And this actually created a very positive cycle, but this may no longer work if we remove the SIM lock and the subsidy system. And how to share the functionality between the network versus the handset is another question going forward. We have the address book stored in the network, but if the handset SIM lock is removed, we may not be able to do that any longer. So I'm not sure, I'm not saying that the current system is a perfect one, but right now, with all three carriers not being able to make a move, it has been very difficult for us to increase the amount of the market price of the handset. But the subsidy system is interlocked and interrelated to these factors, and it's not a yes or no answer, I think. I think there's a middle ground in between. So all carriers and everybody has to discuss this issue because it's so wide-ranging. It's encompassing a lot of factors. But the Japanese system is extraordinary compared to other markets in the world. But I do know that this is not a perfect system, but it's not that we can immediately remove the subsidies altogether. And as for the handset sales channel going forward, all the operators will first have to revisit their own sales channel. In our case, our Docomo shop and SoftBank has their own shops. So, of course, we have to enrich and improve our own shop channel. And in addition to their own channel, there is a mass retailer. And this is going to be a huge topic going forward. But what's going on right now is that more than 50% of the channels are at the outlets are those small handset dealers marketing all three carriers' handsets. So going forward, because the number of handset shipment is not going to be so huge as compared to before, I think rationalization is inevitable. Therefore, ultimately, the unique own channel, Docomo shops, that sort of channels, and mass retailers, and large-scale dealers may be the main forces in the sales channel. I think that's my view. For Docomo, which channel do you focus most heavily, or do you have any priorities? Actually, our own Docomo shops is the priority. We want to make it cleaner and easier to enter, and we currently have 3,000 Docomo shops and Docomo spot shops, so we might be able to increase this a bit further. And mass retailers is also very important for us, so these are the two focus areas, and we would like to stress these two channels going forward.
Any other questions? Thank you. To conclude today's press conference at this juncture. Thank you for joining us. This is a triple Z schedule. Thank you.